We are happy you tuned in to us this Sunday afternoon for Take Time for Jesus. We would like to thank those who have helped us with the financial blessing. And at the end of this broadcast, we will give you our email address where you can email us or the P.O. box so you can write us. God bless you. Here's Brother Earl and Sister Sarah.
Praise the Lord and good afternoon. Again, we want to thank you for tuning in to us at the time of Take Time for Jesus. I would to God that all would understand and realize that He is the one that paid our sin debt, and He and Him alone is the one that is qualified to bring salvation unto us through the gift that God the Father had gave Him, that which end that He, when He was manifested in the flesh, to come to die for us that was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. After the fall in the garden, God looked down and He seen that there had to be a atoning price had to be paid. He slew animals for the blood, and by that there was blood shed to cover the nakedness of Adam and Eve. But now that Jesus came, down through the years it was a sacrifice of animals, but Jesus came into the world, God manifested in the flesh, that wherein that He could come and buy your salvation and mine. He paid the price. He came there as a man to die on Calvary's cross, that whereby that we could have a salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, whereby that we can pray, cry out, Abba, Father. And I know today is the day that we set aside to honor our fathers, as it was a few days ago, that to honor our mothers. My friend, I believe that it's something that should be done year-round, every day, that a man and a girl should honor their parents as they need to be honored when they become to be parents. I believe today that God would surely smile upon them that would honor their parents, their father and their mother, and do them well as it may be well with them. But to dishonor them, you don't honor them, you dishonor them, and so you bring grief into their hearts, even there that wherein if they go to church or not, my friend, you need to look unto them because they are your father and your mother. They brought you into this world, and it may have been under different circumstances, but nevertheless, they are your parents. But I believe God would look to you and smile upon you if you give them the honor that is due them. But most of all, to honor our Heavenly Father and praying and seeking the face of God, which is through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we'll give praise and honor unto our Heavenly Father, because He is the Father of all of it. He created man in the beginning and His own, in His image and in His likeness. It's man that have sinned, not God. But God deserves honor further more than our mothers and dads. He deserves to be lifted up and exalted and be of praise and honor to Him every moment of our lives. I know that a lot of people doesn't seem to think so, but nevertheless, that doesn't make it true. We just praise God today to know that we, as a man and a woman that was for you, my wife and I, we chose, as it was written there in the scripture, that Joshua asked the man to choose you this day to whom you should serve. And he said, as far as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's my choice and our choice to do. We're not trying to say that our children is altogether what we would like for them to be, but they're our children, and we love them. And God loves all people. He said it's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So it's not God's will that one would die and go to hell. He goes to hell. He goes there as an intruder. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, and the scripture teaches that anyone goes there as an intruder. So now ask yourself this. If somebody had a party over there in some place and didn't invite you, would you go kick the door open and go in anyway? I wouldn't myself if I wasn't invited. I do not do things like that, and I'm sure the majority of the people wouldn't. But God has opened up, and Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He invited all to come. And he doesn't love the nature of our sins or the lifestyle that we live and whatever it might be to bring us and separate us from our Heavenly Father. He doesn't love the sin, but he loves the soul. That's what he come to spare from destitute and being destined for hell. He gave you an opportunity as he well as he did me. And all that was before us and all them that will come after us will have the same opportunity that we can accept him or go our separate way. He's not going to force us to serve him or whatever. But my friend, today, let me encourage you that it's time we taken a note of ourselves. Look about and see. And then think about where will you spend eternity when that death angel comes and claims you. Will you die and go into the presence of our Lord and our God? Or will you die and be cast out into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth? The decision is yours. And it's not the denomination that you belong to. It's not the church situation that you involved into. It's not going to get you there. It's repentance unto God and forgiveness of your sins through Jesus Christ in faith and belief in the blood that was shed for you that would cleanse you from your unrighteousness. How many people rely upon their denomination and their teachings and their doctrines? But my friend, if you get outside of the lids of God's word and you go to try to live your life outside of the principles as which God has laid down for us, you're in jeopardy of losing your soul.
Thank you, Jesus.
But I just thank God today. I'm going to give my wife some time here now as we pray one for another. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we have come to at this time to lift up that precious name of Jesus. And with all the times that we have took out of our life every day to give praise and honor unto our Lord and our God, we do so again at this time. We thank you for the opportunity, for the blessings, and for those that have helped us financially. We pray for those that are sick amongst us. We ask that you would be kind to them, lift them up and exalt them and bring them forth, Lord, for thy glory and for thy name's sake. And we just give you the praise and the glory as we endeavor to bring forth your word this day. And we bless the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you the praise and the honor to touch them that have blessed us and help us, O God, that we might be a blessing to others, that they may come to know you in the fullness and the power of your resurrection, accepting you as to be in their Lord and their Savior before it's eternally too late. And whatsoever is done, we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory for it all. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Stay tuned. My wife's got something other here for us you might like and be interested in.
Here's Sister Sarah. Thank the Lord again for being able to bring that into your homes or wherever this afternoon. I love to receive emails and share with you. So if you have something that you'd like to share with the world, just send it to me. You'll get my email address. And you be blessed. The name of this is Take My Son. A wealthy man and his son loved to collect rare works of art. They had everything in their collection from Picasso to Raphael. They would often sit together and admire the great works of art. When the Vietnam conflict broke out, the son went to war. He was very courageous and died in battle while rescuing another soldier. The father was notified and grieved deeply for his son. About a month later, just before Christmas, there was a knock at the door. A young man stood at the door with a large package in his hands. He said, "Sir, You don't know me, but I am the soldier for whom your son gave his life. He saved many lives that day, and he was carrying me whenever safety when a bullet struck him in the heart and he died instantly. He often talked about you and your love for art. The young man held out this package. I know this isn't much, but I'm not really a great artist, but I think your son would have wanted you to have this. The father opened the package. It was a portrait of his son, painted by the young man. He stared in awe at the way the soldier had captured the personality of his son in the painting. The father was so drawn to the eyes that his own eyes welled up with tears. He thanked the young man and offered to pay him for the picture. Oh, no, sir, I could never repay what your son did for me. It's a gift. The father hung the portrait over his mantle, and every time visitors came to his home, he took them to see the portrait of his son before he showed them any of the other great works he had collected. The man died a few months later. There was to be a great auction of his paintings. Many influential people gathered, excited over seeing the great paintings and having an opportunity to purchase one for their collection. On the platform sat the painting of the sun. The auctioneer pounded his gavel. We will start the bidding with the picture of the sun. Who will bid for this picture? There was silence. Then a voice in the back of the room shouted, "We want to see the famous painting. Skip this one." But the auctioneer persisted. "Will somebody bid for this painting? Who will start the bidding? $100, $200. Another voice angrily said, "We didn't come to see this painting. We came to see Van Gogh's, the Rembrandts. Get on with the real bids." But still the auctioneer continued, The sun, who will take the sun?" Finally, a voice came from the back of the room. It was the longtime gardener of the man and his son. "I'll give you $10 for the painting." Being a poor man, it was all he could afford. "We have $10. Who will bid $20? "Give him to him for $10. Let's see the masters." The crowd was becoming angry. They didn't want the picture of the sun. They wanted the more worthy investments for their collections. The auctioneer pounded the gavel, going once, going twice, sold for $10. A man sitting on the second row shouted, "Now let's get on with the collection." The auctioneer laid down his gavel. "I'm sorry, the auction is over." "Well, what about the famous paintings?" "I am sorry. When I was called to conduct this auction, I was told of a secret stipulation in the will. I was not allowed to reveal that stipulation until this time. Only the painting of the sun would be auctioned. Whoever bought that painting would inherit the entire estate, including the paintings. The man who took the sun gets everything. God gave his son over 2,000 years ago to die on the cross. Much like the auctioneer, his message today is, the sun. Who will take the sun? Because you see, whoever takes the son gets everything. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall have eternal life. That's love. And I'm asking you today, will you take the son? Or are you like the other ones? You've got your own famous whatever. I'm begging you today, and I'm pleading with you, please take the son. You take the son, believe me, you'll have everything. Here's Brother Earl.
Yes, praise the Lord. You know, the thing of it is that was an auctioneer, sold the painting for $10 of a man's son. Thing of it is that God sent his only begotten son into this world to die for you and I. And through his sacrifice that he made, he gave you and I the opportunity to have eternal life. And the most beautiful part about it, it won't cost us nothing but the world. Forgiveness of our sins. He made it possible that you can have the richest of glory, which the Bible states that no man has ever even imagined. It's never entered into the hearts of what God has in store for them that love him. So would you refuse the Son and go your separate way and do whatever? Or would you accept God's only begotten Son in your life that you may have life and have it more abundantly? The decision is yours. Many people, as I said a moment ago, thinks that their denomination or their church, as we quote, is going to make all the difference that they have. And if they stay faithful to that denomination and that's teachings, then everything is going to be all right. My friend, there's no man that's ever entered into the heavens but one that came down from the Father. He also returned to the Father, and the man called Jesus. Irregardless of how you might have read or what you may have heard, that there is someone in glory in the heavens that had passed on from this life as a man or a woman that had lived in this world, and they're making intercession for you before God that you will have everything that there. There's no such thing as that, my friend. Jesus is the only intercessor between God and man. He's the one that pleads your case. But if you don't know him, then it's going to come the time he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. But now, the Bible speaks about it. There was a time, we find in the book of Hebrews in the 12th chapter, that there's as Moses was leading the children of Israel up out of Egypt's bondage, they came to a place to wherein that out to Mount Sinai there, and wherein that God came down in the darkness of the smoke and the fire, and he told Moses to tell them to cleanse herself and get prepared, and upon a certain day that they would come there up to the foot of the mountain there, but not come past the boundaries there of it. My friend, it's so all that it was to be that if they passed over that certain boundary, that they would, whether it be a beast or a man, he would be struck down by some means. But my friend, as it come forth and as God spoke to the people out of the darkness of the smoke and the fire, it frightened them in such a, even to Moses said it was a fearful and frightful that it even shook. My friend, today that we can hear the voice of God in a small, still voice. A lot of people want to hear him in many things and many ways, but he speaks to our heart in a small, still voice and leads us and directs us into the place that he would have us to be. So, my friend, today, if you don't know him as your personal Savior, then someday you're going to wish you had. But at the time that we're living in today, we got to realize that they're perilous times, and that we got to come to the place of wherein we know him as our personal Savior. Not someone that's gone on, a mother or dad or a friend or a loved one there, but Jesus has entered into the place to make intercessory for you and I, into the place of wherein that we call heaven and in the presence of God.
This is Inspiration Radio AM 1110 WTIS, home of the Dave Ramsey and Mike Huckabee shows.
So if we would understand and realize that there's no person there except Jesus himself. God was manifested in the flesh, came and died for us. The spiritual, invisible God put a face on himself there when in the face of Jesus Christ. Because in the scriptures teaches us that he came in the volume of the book, and we got to realize that he is there and we're here. We're living a life in this world to whereby that if we honor our Heavenly Father and we give honor and contribute to our earthly Father and honor our Heavenly Father with all of our substance and give Him praise and honor, then we should be able to honor our earthly father. Now, my dad passed away in the early age of my life, and I didn't know him that well, but he was my dad, and I honored him for that, and I respect him for that. But I want you to think about it. There's been a lot of fathers in these days that we live that has mistreated their children, abused them in many ways, and even killed some of them because they got in the way, I guess, or something or other. But a dad and a father, any man can be a father, but it takes a special kind of a person, so I've been told, to be a dad. I'm a father. I've got three boys and three girls, and I love every one of them. Some of them is going to church and doing that right, but the others, some of them is not, but I still love them. They're my offspring. They're my children, and I love them, and they give me respect, and I do what I can for them. But my friend, today, my Heavenly Father can do more for them in a moment than I can do in an entire lifetime. He's blessed me and kept me, and He's brought me to the place of where I can really know His presence and know the voice of God. And when God spoke to the children of Israel, it frightened them such until they didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to have nothing to do with it, and they ran from it and told them, said, let him speak to Moses, and Moses tell us. And they couldn't even abide in that, my friend. So I'm telling you today that there is an opportunity while that there is breath in your body. The spirit is still in that old house that you live in. That is the body. As Jesus spoke of it when they told him, he said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up again in 3 days. And they thought, well, it was 40 some odd years of raising up the temple, and you're going to bring it up in 3 days. But he's speaking about that flesh to which he was in, that it would die, it was buried, and on the third day it rose again. He said, I have the power to lay it down, my life down, and pick it up again. See, your friends, my loved out there, that God has gave it all to himself, the power to give life, and he is the life giver. But here it is, and the people there, that they heard the voice of God speaking out of the right off the top of the mountain, out of the thickness of the smoke and the fire, and they feared come up on them. Well, I guess they had a reason to be. I would kind of fear, if that was the first time I'd seen anything like that, I would probably be a little afraid myself. But, my friends, we have not come into that situation. We are not no longer that place. But we, according to the Bible, they couldn't endure it and everything. But then as Moses said, and it was so terrible that in that sight that Moses said, I exceedingly feared and quaked. But bear this in mind, in verse 22, he said, but you have not come into Mount Zion and into a city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and in a numerous company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and the spirit of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that sprinkled better things, speaks better things than that of Abel. You know, Abel was the first human blood that was shed, and it cried out for justice to be done. My friend, that God just punished his brother Cain and sent him off away from his presence there. A lot of people got a different opinion about what happened and everything, but nevertheless, it's not what I'm here for, is to elaborate on some of their opinions and whatever. But anyway, he met his mate somewhere or another that God had placed it there, and he brought forth and he produced. And we're having problems with those things today, which was rejected back in those days. But my friend, today we've not come to the place where we have in the presence of God, where we got to be fearful. Not in the presence of God that we're in, that if we touched a certain place that we'd be speared through or destroyed by some means. But when Jesus died on the cross, the temple that which in he was in, and the temple that which was then in reality a building, or a temple if you want to call it that, which a veil that separated, which was about 12 feet thick, I understand, separated everybody from the holiness place, the holy, into everything. And the high priest once a year could go into the presence behind the veil, but with not with he had to carry the blood sacrifice and put it upon the mercy seat. But now when Jesus, when the veil of the temple was rent, the temple that which in that God dwelt in the flesh was rent there on Calvary's cross, the veil in the temple of the building there was split from top to bottom and made it possible for you and I to come into the very existence presence of God in the holiness of holiness places. And my friend today, that except we come there into the place and humble ourselves at the foot of our Lord and our God, accepting him as our King of kings and Lord of lords, as our provider for the salvation that he has provided us for, or for us, we're going to be lost. And I speak that for my children, your children, me, you, or anyone have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, will go down in defeat. There's nothing, no other Savior, no other way that you can get there, because the Bible declares that there's no other name given among man whereby that we must be saved but at the name of Jesus. So whatever other name that they may come up with is just no good. We got to call upon the name of the Lord. And I know that there's people out there in different parts of the world that would say that I'm wrong, but I'm going by what the Word of God says, my friend. I didn't write the book, but I do love to carry the mail. If anything that comes into God without having the blood of Jesus applied to it, he's going to cast it out, plain and simple. And that includes you, me, and whosoever. But we come into the presence of God through that veil that was rent there at Calvary, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, through that time that he spent there on Calvary's cross to bring to the salvation unto you and to them that will accept him. We didn't come into a temple made with hands, bow down to it, and therefore receive. You may come to the into the altar of an old-fashioned church somewhere or another, but you bow down there, you bow down in the presence of God, not in the presence of something other else or some man going to give you new birth rights and all. It's Jesus Christ or nothing, my friend. There's no other plan anywhere in the world that's going to exceed that which is given to us through the Word of God. It's there and it's going to be there. Every dot of the I, every cross of the T is going to be fulfilled according to the Scriptures. And we're going to have to realize that we came to the place of repentance. We come in the presence of a true and a living God. We come in the presence of innumerable angels that around and about us. You know, the Scripture teaches that he gave angels a charge around us, at guarding angels. Now, you may not believe in them, but I do. I believe in angels. I believe that my God has sent forth some, because at many times that I've seen the manifestation of God's works in through things that I didn't quite understand, but then I come to know and realize that God sent his angels to protect us, lest we strike our foot against something and fall headlong into hell. And I'm grateful for each and every one of them. I thank God for that time that I come into in the presence of the living God, and in the presence of an innumerable counted, I couldn't count them, the angels. It's great to know him, to know his presence, to know that you are a child of the king. To the great assembly, the church of the firstborn. You know, when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage, he done so by killing the firstborn of Pharaoh's, from Pharaoh's house on down to his servant, even to the animals. But when he got them out there, he told the children of Israel that everything that was born, whether it be man or woman or animal or whatever, anything that it broke open the Manix air, the firstborn of it was his. He claimed it. He had a right to it. He claimed it. And even to a little donkey, that if it was born there, it was his, but it had to be redeemed by a lamb. Someone didn't want the donkey, and they wouldn't redeem it by giving a lamb. That donkey was to be took and his neck to be broke and done away with. My friend, I'm glad today to know that my Lord and my Savior seen this donkey and seen the need of having a donkey around, and he died for me and gave himself that I could have life and have it more abundantly. And I thank God for it. Otherwise, if he hadn't claimed me, I would have been lost without any hope. But I thank God today to know that he had enough of love in his compassion for me that he died for me as well as he did for all that would receive him. It's not that we are first of everything, but he was first of everything. He created everything. He was there in the beginning, and he made the world and created all the fullness thereof, and everything belongs to him. Even to your very existence belongs to him. But what you do with your life, he'll let you do with it and live the life that you so desire to choose. But in the end, my friend, he's going to have the last words. He's going to either say, depart from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you, or enter into my rest. Now, it's up to you. But if you would realize that the time that we need to make it right is while life is still in the body. I've often heard that a person could get salvation before he hit the ground after being thrown off of a horse's back. I've been thrown off a horse's back, my friend, and you hit the ground before you even realize you're in the air. So don't count on that. Don't wait until the last minute. That deathbed confession may not work because you're giving it because you're afraid. But come to the throne of grace. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ boldly. Boldly come to the throne of grace. Enter there into the presence of God with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and he won't cast you out. But you come into that place there, into the firstborn. My friend, today we got to realize that if you've been born again, you're the firstborn of God. And all these denominations, I'm not against a denomination, and if they'll teach the unadulterous word of God, if they'll bring forth Jesus Christ and him crucified and let him be Lord of all, then it's all right. But my friend, there's only one church that God is going to carry into this world, and it's the church of the firstborn, and that's going to be the ones that is born again of the water and of the Spirit. Not someone that goes up there and said, because I belong to this denomination or that one, I've got all the rights that I'll ever need, then I'm going to land right in the middle of everything into God's kingdom. It may come to be a surprise to you, my friend. You might fall in the pits of hell and wonder what happened simply because someone told you the wrong thing. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to force you into what I believe, but the scripture brings it plain that there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. We're baptized into one body. There's not several different ones. There's no one there that's going to plead your case except Jesus Christ. And that he is the one that pleaded your case there at Calvary. He gave his life, and as he was dying there with his last breath, he looked up and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. My friends, and he gave up the ghost. Oh, you say, well, he's speaking about the people that had him crucified. Yes, but he looked down through the corridors of time and seen yours and my miserable soul lost in sin because we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We were born, we was in a darkness under the curse of death, but through his death he fulfilled the promise that he gave to Abraham. He said, out of your seed shall all nations be blessed. My friend, I'm glad today that upon Calvary he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm glad today to know that through all of the times of down in the wilderness that the people of Israel stumbled and blundered around, that I'm glad that it was recorded there that we can come into the throne of grace boldly. We don't have to come shy and thinking that we come there like the high priest did. That they went in there unworthy to go in behind the veil at that time, unless he carried that blood, that the sacrifice, if he went in there against the rules and the regulations that was laid down by the Father above and give to him the right to do so, if he went in there without doing what he was supposed to do, he stepped in behind that veil in the temple of the holiest of holies, he was a dead man. Plain and simple, my friend. But when he went there in the proper way, recognizing with humbleness before the true and the living God to offer up a sacrifice to him for the salvation and for the forgiveness of sin for the people at that time, which it was done once a year, he was accepted and he lived. Now, if you come and offer up a sacrifice of praise, he don't require that you kill a lamb. He just asks you to come and give yourself to him. Offer up yourself as a living sacrifice. He don't have any pleasure in dead sacrifices, but he has pleasure in a living sacrifice. And he will bring you forth, and he'll speak to your heart, and he'll bring you into the place of wherein that you will have salvation. And there, and you come to the knowledge of his truth. Just study the word. Don't let someone, denomination, tell you you don't need to read the Bible. Somebody else will read it, and they'll tell you what it means. Read for yourself, my friend, irregardless of who you are or what you are. Read for yourself, or whatever denomination you belong to. Read to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth, that a workman be not ashamed. Many people today, they go by what somebody else says, and if that somebody else said it wrong, then they believe it wrong. My friend, I believe what the word of God says. He said we could come to the place, and we haven't come into a burning fire for fear and trembling. We could come boldly to the throne of grace. We have come into the presence of God, into that new Jerusalem, amongst many angels there, innumerable counted of angels, and we could come in. And I tell you the truth about it, my friend, there's nothing like it. You may have all the joy and the things of this world that you thought that could be, and have all of the things, the toys and whatever, but there's nothing like Jesus if you've been born again. You come into the presence of God and let him speak to your heart and bless you with his spirit and give to you of his precious Holy Ghost. There's nothing like it. There's no amount of fun in the world that can exceed it. You'll take it and use it and let God use you for his glory. I ain't saying it's going to be peaches and cream, but I'll tell you one thing. In all of your troubles and your trials, your ups and your downs, Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I will go with you even unto the end of the world. My friend, mom, dad, brother, sister, friend, pastor, ever who him he is, he may walk off and leave you sometimes in all your distress. But Jesus said, I'll be with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. When all other things have failed and everything else, God said he would lift you up. He would bring you forth and deliver you and bring you out of your torment and your trials and your tribulation. He said he'd make a way for us. He didn't say he would do away with it and everything, but he'd say he'd make a way for us to escape through the trials. My friend, I've been through some tough times in my life. I've just turned My birthday was past Wednesday, but I've been through some tough times, but some of the times I wasn't with the Lord, and I suffered dearly for it. But since I've turned my heart over to Him and allowed Him to come into my life for over 40 years, I haven't suffered like that I would have if I hadn't had Him. He's kept me and brought me forth and spared me from the pits of hell. And because that I come into the presence of God, into the place that wherein that He dwelled, into the living God, and the heavenly Jerusalem, and in a new innumerable company of angels, in the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which is written in heaven, and God be the judge of all things. Into the place that wherein the blood of Jesus was applied to my sin-sick soul and brought me victory out of the death on the cross. He brought to me satisfaction, brought to me a peace of mind that I wasn't afeard. I got to the place where I was afraid to go to sleep. I don't know how I managed it for as long as I did, but it seemed me like forever, but it was for quite some time that I was afraid to lay down and go to sleep, afraid I wouldn't wake up. And I knew that with my state that I was in, that I would be cast into hell. And I'd do something to keep myself awake, but blessed be the name of the Lord. When I surrendered all to Him and gave my life to Him, I had a restful night that night that I can't describe it, but it was restful and peaceful. And I could lay down and rest assured that if I passed out of this world, I would inherit eternal life with Christ Jesus. And that was the peace that I had. And I still have it today. And I thank God for it. I thank God for that time He came as a man called Jesus to die on the cross, that whereby that I could receive salvation for my soul. My friend, there's only one way we can make it. When we take time for Jesus, He'll take time for you. When you give Him praise and honor, He'll lift you up. He'll bring things about to you that you never thought that might happen to you. But in all, through all your trials and your tribulations, He's right there with you. Remember this one thing, that they can't do no more to you than what they've already done to Him. They've taken Him and abused Him, spit up on Him, pulled the beard from His face, whipped Him with a cat of nine tails, and they drove nails in His hands and His feet, and abused Him in all kinds of ways. If you read the history of it, it's what was on there about the way the doctors described it and everything. He was brutally abused beyond any thing that should have been. But my friend, He done it all for you and I. He done it because that we needed salvation. He done it to pay the price for yours and my sins. He done it for you and I. He didn't do it for somebody that done gone on that way. Even though when He ascended, He first descended. And them that waited upon the promise that was given to Abraham, that the Messiah would come, and that the prophets of old had spoken about, they said He was to come. They waited upon it through faith. And when He arrived there in the place where they were being held captive, He brought them forth from captivity to captive. And some of the saints were seen walking around on the streets of Jerusalem, and when they entered into the paradise of God, wherever that might be, He said He was going to prepare a place that where He was that we could come to. And my friend today, then if that place is anything like that, the mind can't grasp of what it will be like, then it's going to be wonderful. Whatever it be, it'll be better than what we got. This old world is tottering on the axis of defeat, destruction, and we're seeming to, some people is wanting to go along with it and do everything they can to help it out. But my friend, we've seen the signs of happening around in the world. We've seen that things are changing rapidly. The Bible said they would come. There would be perilous times. We've seen it how on the news and hear it on the radio and read it in the paper how that somebody's killed somebody. The man is shot his wife and killed her and then killed himself in the front of the 7-year-old son here just a few days ago. What a tragedy that people would do something other like that. It's because the enemy is out as a roaring lion seeking that he may devour. And he can't make you do it, my friend, but he'll press your heart so that you think that's the only way out, and you'll finally wind up and do what he bid you to do. My friends, take time out to inquire for God. Ask for that man called Jesus and that wonderful name. Ask for salvation for your soul. Ask him to help you. He's willing and able. All you got to do is ask. It won't cost you nothing but the world. The world is full of sin and deceit. It's got some joyful things in it, I'd admit, but there's nothing that can do for you what Jesus can do for you. He done it for you at Calvary. He died for you. He spent the time there on Calvary all day long on that cross, suffering for you and I. He was buried, and he stayed there in the tomb. Or at least the body he was in did, but the spirit went into the center of the earth. But he came back and he rose. And honey, that stone was not rolled away from the mouth of the tomb that he could get out, but it was rolled where the apostles and them could go in and see that he wasn't there. The angels are sitting up there and said, "Why seek you the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen." My friend, and he's alive and alive forevermore, just as the scripture says. You got to accept him. You got to believe in him. You got to trust in the sacrifice that was made. You got to believe what the prophets of old have wrote concerning those things. I wasn't there, but I believe every word of it. I believe it is power unto salvation, as Paul made mention. He believed that he trusted in the scriptures. He believed God, and he believed that everything about it. He said, "For its power unto salvation." I believe that the only way we're going to make it into that eternally that would have rest and peace, as he said we could have in that place that he'd gone to prepare, we're going to have to give him honor and praise. We're going to have to look to our heavenly Father. Our earthly Father may have done all that he could ever possibly do as being a man that could do, but he can't save your soul, my friend. He can do everything. He can give you the everything that you would require in the material things of this world, but he cannot save your soul. That's going to come from our heavenly Father through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's going to come in a way that only he can give it. I can't give salvation to my sons or my daughters, but Jesus can, and I tell them every time I get the opportunity, you need to get your heart right with God, my friend. You need to get it right. You ain't got the promise of tomorrow, neither have I, but I want you to know that there is a plan God has got laid out for yours and my soul. He laid it out way before the foundation of the world. Because Jesus came, he said, "It's a lamb slain from the foundation of the world." God knew what was going to happen from in the garden before it ever happened. He knew that Adam would not be able to obtain what he had given to him. So he lost it. He lost it there. And he brought us into a life of sin and grief. But Jesus came, the second Adam came, to spare us from a lost and dying world into the world that he had created somewhere or another, and he had gone prepare for us that we could have life and have it more abundantly. This old world is going to come up into destruction one of these days. I don't know. Several have tried to predict it's going to be this and going to be that day and this time and everything. But my friend, be aware that when that time comes, that the people of Israel and is going to be faced with a time that they're going to sign a peace treaty and agree for a peace treaty is supposed to last 7 years with the Antichrist spirit, and that it's going to be interrupted about the middle part of it. Be aware when this happens, look up, for the redemption draweth nigh. My friend, look around you. Look and see what's happening in this world. We see that all of these things that are happening around in these perilous times, people killing their loved ones and people shooting people just walking down the street, people bump somebody in the car and they get out and have a fist fight, and some of them even shoot somebody and just break into their homes and beat up on elderly people and rob them and leave them for dead and everything. And you talk about that this is great, it may be to you, but it makes me think about the hereafter. Makes me remind me that Jesus said, I came that you could have life and have it more abundantly. That abundantly life, my friend, is going to be when he takes us and ushers us into that presence of God in the place that he said he's going to prepare for us. And that's going to be for that abundant life. Some people think that will tell you that we're supposed to have an abundant life. Everybody's supposed to have a big fine automobile and Rolex watches and have a big bank account. And then you reach in your pocket and send me your biggest bill and all that kind of junk. My friend, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the things that you have need of will be added unto you. He clothed the lily of the valley. He feeds the little ants of sparrows. He's a mind of the sparrows that falls from the air. He knows them. Surely he looks after you and I. Oh, my friend, don't be misled by everything that comes down the road. As I've often said, everything that comes in walking down the road with a Bible tucked under his arm or something that glitters and everything looks like gold don't mean it's gold. And that it comes with a Bible tucked under his arm don't mean he's sent from God. But I want you to know today that there is a God that looks down upon this old universe, and he knows everything about it. There's nothing hid from him, and he knows everything that's going on in your life and in my life. He knows the hair that is numbered on your head, and I just know that he knows where you live, but he knows everything. There's nothing gets past him that where he's going to say, whoops, that slipped by me. But he sees everything that is happening. One day he's going to step out of his eternal home, and he's going to step out on the clouds of glory. And if you ain't prepared for it and you don't to meet him, then, my friend, you're going to be lost. It's plain and simple. Be prepared, for the day of the Lord is for sure, and it's certainly upon the horizon. I don't know the day or the hour, but I do feel in my very essence of my very soul that it can't be as long as it has been. But I believe that God has set a time, as the scripture says, of the day and the hour. And it's looking like it's coming up on us real fast. The midnight hour is about ready to strike. So be aware. Take time for Jesus. Look unto him to be the author and the finisher of faith. Give him praise and honor, our Heavenly Father, and lift him up. And he'll bear with you if you'll repent of your sins and let him come into your life today and wash you and cleanse you with the precious blood of Jesus, and he'll take care of you. Until next week, may God richly bless you and watch over you and keep you. And I like, again, the address and all will be given unto you, to those that have helped us financially. I appreciate it, and God bless you richly. Until next week, may God look over you and keep you. Amen and amen.
We would like to invite you to come to our church, Christian Growth Fellowship, where Pastor Pennington brings the Word of God every Sunday morning at 10:30 and Wednesday night Bible study at 7. The church is located at 149 April Lane in Tampa, Florida, 33613. If you don't have a church home, come join the family at ours. If Take Time for Jesus has been a blessing to you, email Take Time for Jesus at WTIS1110.com or write Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. God bless. That's all my heart to fear, and grace my fears really. How precious did that grace appear? The hour I first
my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love.
My sport is football, but my passion is education. My name is Namdi Asmo.